You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and as it's a Tuesday, it's the double-headed dream team on the 5 o'clock shadow, and that is David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and he's joined, as always, by Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. The overall mood, first of all, Nick, just set the scene for us before we go into the semantics.
Yeah, evening, Lindsay, evening, David. A very, very, I guess, just a very slow, I guess you'd have to say a little bit disappointing. Yeah, the rest of the market's been very choppy, and I'm talking offshore. There's been some quite big swings once again from positive to negative, and we're moving on every tweet closer we get to the elections and every bit of news flow that comes out of the US. But from a South African point of view, I think once again, very thin markets. You see it on the bid and offer spreads. The doubles are quite wide. It just feels like we once again, without sort of labouring on too much about it, we're going to tread water at least until, from a South African point of view, the medium-term budget next week, Wednesday, and probably longer out until the elections on the 3rd of November. I think we're almost getting into that pre-election sort of treadwater mode. So overall, I think it was a bit of a disappointing day on the JSE in general.
Yeah, David, do you concur with that?
Yeah, it's quiet. There's very little to get your teeth into. Pick and Pay came out with numbers, was about the only highlight. I was looking at Celsius results just out of interest,
yes,
and which is an utter disaster. It has no impact on the market. BHP's numbers out, so we're really digging for something to drive either purchases or sales. Yeah, they're movements now, but to be honest, Lindsay, I don't know what creates the movements. I'm trying to get behind because the volumes are so low, and yet there are some big movements in either direction globally. Just switching off, offshore again. It's this almost fatigue with whether there'll be a stimulus or not. And also we have to watch the election taking place, and virtually every on the hour we're getting more and more kind of interviews and updates about the election, which is starting to get a bit tedious. You just want it to be over with now. It's enough already. So and a lot of it is around Mr. Trump as well, which is quite incredible. Some of the sayings that are coming out of his mouth are just astonishing for a man who's the leader of, when I say astonishing, if you had to talk to your children the way he talks, or if a school teacher or a business leader, they'd have Me Too kind of against them.
Up Me in Too. Front of HR.
Yeah, sure. You can't call a man an idiot. Or, they dumb bastards talking about CNN and so on. Creating hypothetical Exxon.
Horrific. But isn't this also sort of setting this election up for this dirty, mudslinging, name-calling election? Mm. And I think you touched on to something there, David, is that I think it feels like there is that sort of election fatigue coming. Where you used to be astonished with the headlines coming across the Reuters or the Bloomberg TV screen, nowadays you're almost like,
That's why I'm saying, Lindsay, we're getting this fatigue, which I think is going to last for a couple of weeks until this is over, until we get some new direction or something new to grip onto. Yeah.
Well, I think that's it, Dave. It's also, and Lindsay, just a new catalyst is needed, really. It's just something to give it. And quite frankly, at this stage, I don't care if it's a crash or a rally, because just something to get this market moving. There's just this little grinds up and down, and I'm finding myself sort of trying to filter between the sort of mid cap shares and the small caps, trying to find something to do, or at least to sort of phone my clients on, and I'm battling at the moment.
Okay, well there should be plenty of stuff, but at the moment, as you say, it's almost like the phony war and the fatigue war. The phony war was something that was coined when the outbreak of World War II was announced, and then nothing happened for a while, and I think we're in that nothing happened doldrums period now. I think Mr. Trump will liven things up this evening because he's in Pennsylvania, that key swing state which he narrowly scraped in on the last election, and that actually probably turned it for him. The polls are all coming out, and they still show Biden. I'm looking at some live polls here. He's anything between 8 and 16 points ahead, according to a range of pollsters. David, just before we leave this and go on to the Tuesday trade, he has said some really spiteful and nasty things in the last couple of days. I mean, particularly when it comes to Hunter Biden and a few of his devotees like James Woods, the actor. Who's that other one? The
Fauci?
Fauci,
yeah.
And what he's saying about Fauci as well. Behind his back. I mean, this that chap's a respected 75-year-old medical professional who knows more about most things than Trump does, not just medical stuff.
It means nothing.
It
means nothing, Lindsay. I mean, it's been so long gone. I mean, don't forget all the sort of the generals that have come through his administration. We've got like 5-star generals who put their life on the line for 4 decades from Vietnam to Afghanistan. Else, and he would sort of dismiss them as losers and all the rest of it that they were in his ministry. And these guys have like earned the respect, you know, from millions of people, and he just fobs them off. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, Fauci's really, it's nothing to him.
He's a scientist.
He's just collateral damage. You know, it's another one to get his Twitter hits and abuses him and he gets a bit of a laugh, and that's it. He's got no respect for anyone.
No. And listen, he's a president of the United States. We keep forgetting that. He's not the CEO of Tesla.
Well, maybe for hopefully for only 3 weeks longer. Let's see.
You know, and that's what's absolutely astonishing that people can still support him. And I, you know, Lindsay, just to give you a chance, and I don't know whether Nick has had this instance, but you know, my kids at my grandchildren in the United States, if you call them an idiot or you use the word, they chastise. You're not allowed to use words like that in class or against anybody. You know, any disparaging type remark is frowned upon. You know, even my young grandchildren here will tell me not to use those. So teachers can't use them. So for him to go out and call the head of the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, as an idiot, a scientist, you know, a man who's held his position for many years, gives you an idea of who he is. And I just find that repugnant.
Election campaigns a while ago, don't you remember? He was like mocking disabled people.
Yeah.
No, it really, I mean, this is the man. But yet, as you said, it never ceases to amaze you, though. Stuff that comes out of his mouth.
He called CNN now. Dumb bastards, or something to that effect.
It's extraordinary.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we can eat a living out of this now. The Tuesday trade, just to remind you, my IG account, it's ticking along. I'm long of volatility. I'm staying long of volatility up to the election. I'm short the Rand, 16.75, so I'm 27 cents out the money there, but I've got a 50 cent stop at 16.25. What else have I got?
But that VIX trade has worked nicely. You were in it like, 26 and some 26.8,
yes. Where is it now?
That's right. And I mean, 29.5. I mean,
not bad.
Slowly edging up towards 30. So
that's a 10%. That's a 10% move. Yeah, 10% move.
Exactly.
I took profits of more than 10%, well over 10% in Investec Limited. I'm still at the 3,400 December S&P put. I'm rolling it to a 3,100 March put. I'm doing that at I've put in a spread order. In other words, when the difference comes to a certain level between the two, I'll hit it. But anyway, I'm going to conclude this evening.
I'm just going to add to that Tuesday trade conversation with VIX, because we didn't touch on to it. It's a little bit sort of a little bit higher grade stuff, but the VIX curve, what they call it, has actually been inverted for about 6 months.
Yeah.
So what that means is that your price of buying volatility now, like you're doing, sort of like, you know, a couple of months out, is much more expensive than buying it much further out for downside protection, which is very, very unusual. That's not how it should be. For traditionally, you know, you kind of discount what's happening right now and you want to prepare yourself for problems going forward. So you want to buy protection for something that might happen 6 months out. So that's usually more expensive. But now, given what's happening from one day to the next, and the election's literally 3 weeks away, your price of buying protection now is far, far higher. So it's actually inverted, which is very unusual. So for that particular trade, it's actually a cheap trade. You know, you can buy a far out protection like a March put, like you want to do, for far cheaper than traditionally happens. So that's another plus for listeners who are trying to understand, it's actually a good level to buy it at the moment.
Okay, it works in my favor as well. All right, let's go to David. I'm not going to do anything else right now. I've got enough, and I'm happy with it. And unless you two can come up with something that really pricks my attention,
yeah.
David, have you got one?
You know what's losing a lot? Yeah, you know what's losing a lot of value at the moment is Cecil.
Yes.
And I know we've spoken it down from about 150 all the way to 100, but I think this can go back to its 70 or 80 levels. In the last couple of days, it's given away a lot of money, and there hasn't been anything particularly negative around it, you know, other than maybe it's being abandoned by some of those, the holders or who had pushed it up. I just noticed today there was a big leg down and fell below 100. And
this it hit those stops. You could literally draw a case textbook of what happens stops at 100.
Yeah.
Traded through 100, dropped to, I think, 96.50 literally in a second as the stops were hit. But, and also in a very thin market. But Lindsay and I have been chatting on the show when you haven't been around, David, and it feels like a bit of a sort of hedgy play, like the traditional hedge fun play when you trade rights and things like that is you short the share, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you sell the share, you hope it goes down, and if there's rumors of a rights issue, what you want to do is you force the company to come out with a rights, you cover your short and you take up the rights. So you force the share down from like Sasol 120 down to I don't know, $90.
Yeah.
And then eventually the company comes out and says, we're doing a rights issue, it's discounted at 75 Rand. You cover your short, you take up the rights at 75, and there's your trade. Like, I think it smells
could
a little
like
bit
that.
Like that
could
too,
be.
In a very thin market.
It could be, but what I'm saying to Lindsay is that you can get, that's going to go down to 80 or thereabouts.
Well,
it seems
I
to be the level,
Yes, if there is a rights being mooted or the rumor around it'll have to come in at, say, $80, $85, well, then, traditionally the physical will have to trade down towards the rights. So you could very be onto something there. Just a word of caution, they are having an investor day, I think, the first week in November. So there's also obviously some position taking before then. But clearly when you look at a share on the last few days when the oil price has hardly budged, the rand is hardly priced, but the share price is down 7%, there's clearly something going on. So, can't ignore it.
I got to give you on the other side, and Nick has got a closer, African Rainbow Minerals, ARMC.
Left field, where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know why. No, it's just
African
been
Rainbow.
So strong. Yeah, up another 2.7% today. I mean, I go through the market every day, and I always say, what's the big five up, as Lindsay asked us, and so on. While Cecil's been on the other way around, the opposite end, African Rainbow Minerals, for some reason, has been very, very strong. And if you look at it at the moment, I've got it on my chart, it's at an all-time high, but it's rocketed to 245. I mean, from nowhere.
And where is that? Look, it's a diversified miner, but you say it's at an all-time high. What are the other ones doing? Are they following it or just or underperforming? What's happening?
No, there's no – I mean, BHP and Anglo's and Glencore are far bigger companies. But the fact that what's happened, it moved generally up with the rest of the market. It kind of fell back to about 200 at the beginning of October. And from then, from October to that, it's up to 245. what does it do? It's got Assmang, it's got Harmony, it's got Gold Holdings, whatever it is. So I don't know what the story is there, but I mean it's really been very, very strong in the last couple of days.
Let's validate what the deputy chairman has to say. So if I have a quick squiz here on my Reuters machine, So we've got African Rainbow year to date up 61%. Okay. Exara, so this is a peer comparison. Exara up 10, Anglo American minus 5, Rio Tinto 10, Glencore's down 30%, South 32 is down 15%, BHP Billiton is down 3%. The closest competitor is Kumba, which is up 40%. But African Miner up 61%. I'd have to concur with David. I mean, that is real outlier.
What could it be? I mean, the sum of the parts, do they add up to what David has said, 245?
I don't know.
Mm. I mean, it's quite a nice mix. I mean, obviously, it's gold, as we know. It's the PGM basket. They've also got a bit of copper in there, which a lot of other South African companies don't have. Anglo's got a bit of copper, obviously. But it's quite a nice basket with manganese and all the rest of it and chrome. But it's certainly, yeah, looking at a chart, I mean, David's right. I mean, it literally hasn't stopped since May.
Yeah, there's something's afoot there.
And look
there.
At current, I don't know what forward projections are, but at current PEs, I mean, it's sitting at 11. It's not expensive. Mm.
Okay, one to watch. Do some digging, gentlemen, between now and Thursday. And can we go down to the grocery section? Because Pick and Pay came out with numbers. David, you on this one, because you said you've looked at the numbers. I don't know. Pick and Pay, I go to Pick and Pay if it's the closest place to me. But I've never got that excited about Pick and Pay. I don't know about you two. I prefer a Spa or a ShopRite. Nothing against Pick and Pay, of course. But it's just one that if I was an investor, I would look at it, obviously. It would be right at the end of my analysis, if you like.
I can't really judge because the results are awful, but they're awful for a reason. You know, if you look back on the last 6 months, first shops were closed and they couldn't sell tobacco, they couldn't sell liquor, they couldn't sell clothing. They could only sell basic foodstuffs, and slowly things have opened up. So when we look at the absolute results, they're not very good at all. They're putting across a message that things are improving and they're doing okay. But I can't really judge whether they are or not. You know, the results are still very, very difficult to read at this point. It's going to take a full year, you know, to get back to normal before we see where they all are. But they're in the right area, Lindsay, though. You know, they sell food, and they sell basic foodstuffs, and they sell at the, I won't say at the bottom end of the market, but, they're very price conscious as well. So would I buy them? Probably not. You know, I still think maybe Spa would be where I would choose. But
I would concur. Spa,
I
maybe.
I have to wait for tomorrow for Alec Abraham to go through the results and give me what he thought of them. But I think he seemed to suggest that they were better than expected. When I said better than expected, they were fairly decent fairly decent results.
Share price jumping over 2% at the close. Yeah, it was fiddling around, but I think 2.2% higher. BHP Billiton came out with stuff today, and as you said, David, nothing happened. You had a look with morbid fascination at the blue labels, the Cell-C interim results. Is it? Does anyone have a Cell-C contract anymore? What is going on there? Briefly tell us.
What they did say is no one has got a Cell-C contract anymore in the results.
Yes.
I think they lost 34% of their subscribers, but I think that was through design, getting rid of non-profitable contracts. But this is an astonishing story. You know, that why I say that companies can lose this extent of money. You know, we're not talking about 100 million. We're talking about billions since they came to this country. You know, I don't know how many billions have been pumped in and written off. And the latest chaps to take hold were the Levy brothers, who are going to change direction. Remember, we've had other people in that position before, but the Levy brothers, and they blew $5 billion in less than a year or 2 years, was gone. And it's lucky they wrote it down to naught, because if they were still committed, they would have been minus $7.5 billion more. So, and there's always promises of raising money. But I'm just staggered by the numbers, and that businesses can be set up and write off such huge amounts.
Yes, it is astonishing. Someone will explain it to me one day, how a loss and incompetence can be brushed aside with the phrase write off. All right, Distill came out with an update since we've been talking, and it says here, blah blah, alcohol ban, under pressure, challenging, all that sort of stuff. But it does say a couple of encouraging things. Distell says, the short-term trends in group volume and revenue have been encouraging and are tracking ahead of our expectations. Overall performance and cash generation are ahead of expectations and show a positive trajectory into the first half of full year 2021.
That's PR stuff, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of chats about that, Nick and I, when you're not with us.
A good chuckle we heard. Yes.
Yeah. No, so you don't believe it, in other words.
No, we'll read it from the start. I mean, what do they say? You know, Say it all over again. I love it.
It says here the on-premise market is another one here. The on-premise market is starting to gradually open up and recover, with projected trends in small business closures being better than anticipated. This bodes well for a better than expected industry recovery. It's better than expected, and they're positive, David. But you don't like Distell, clearly.
No, I think they've got great products. I think we've just been very disappointed by their performance over the last couple of years. If I had those kind of brands, I would have expected a lot more. I mean, these are iconic brands in the South African market that I would have thought would have been they would have marketed a lot better and certainly sold a lot better.
This is quite close to home for me.
Oh, sorry.
I'll just tell you why. Because go on. At the start, at October last year, we decided to launch a Sanlam Private Wealth, just amongst ourselves, the portfolio managers and traders, a little trading competition. We stuck in a couple hundred bucks, and we chose a stock that we thought would outperform over the next 12 months, which ends at the end of this month. Anyway, mine was Distell. I was the only one who chose Distell. And I promise you, I went through the work. I had a pitch. There was rumors of potential that they were expanding that Savannah, that cider brand, and how they were going to expand. I got the whole pitch. I was convinced this was my ticket to a nice little sweet bonus at the end of this month. Anyway, it's down 58% yet. I'm not last on the list, but it's pretty close. Like, COVID came out of nowhere. No one bought a Savannah for 6 months. Anyway, it just shows you how quickly things can change.
Watch them on the opening tomorrow, because this came out after the market closed. Anyway,
that's a sleeping giant, gentlemen. Sleeping giant.
Yeah, you've only got 58% in 2 weeks to go. You could easily make a recovery. Dollar rand is 16.47 British pound against the rand, 21.35 euro rand, 19.48 euro dollar. Look at that dollar under pressure, 118.30 now the euro dollar, with the dollar 0.5% weaker against the mighty euro. So what is the gold price down on that? This is unusual, because normally it's so sensitive to dollar weakness, doing absolutely nothing at 19.10. Platinum is up 7.5 to 877.5. Palladium, please, Nick.
Yeah, I think a cracker, actually. $40 higher, 1.8% higher, 2,383.
Go Palladium. West Texas Intermediate crude down 0.5% at $40.62. Brent crude 42.48, down 0.33%. Let's have a look at, give us the live man with the fancy screens, Nick Kunzer. Live Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ, please.
Yeah, the man with the fancy screens. So with these fancy screens, we have the S&P 500. It is off the highs. It was almost 1% higher at one stage, up 0.36 currently, 12 points. So it's coming off after some Trump's busy speaking, apparently, with I'm seeing the headlines now with Larry the Clown, Kudlow. We've got the Dow Jones up 0.5%, and we've got the NASDAQ up 0.25%, but well off the highs. But again, gents, another choppy.
Similar action to last night, Nick, where the market was very, very strong, and then going into the real session, that strength was maintained, and then everyone says, wait a second, what's going on here? What are we buying? Why are we buying it?
Yeah, and being a Tuesday trading show, people that are listening, it's very important to watch the price action of shares that you look at, or indices that you look at in the last sort of hour of trade. It normally gives an indication of what the sort of market breadth is. So like last night, if we see a lower close well off the highs today, it normally indicates that the market is heading into a sort of negative tone, for what it's worth.
Yes, and the other thing, from a technical point of view, with a market that was up in the futures session over 1% to close down 1.75%, if you look at a 24-hour continuation chart, that was a reversal pattern, albeit short-term. Definitely. And I wouldn't mind betting that we'd be lower again this evening after last night's Dow Jones, 410 points, etc., and on we go.
If I can just add to your comment, Lindsay, that's a very good point. So if you're looking at technical charts, you must look at the continuing futures. They don't have that gap open and gap close as stock markets open and close. So it's a much better indication for those who like to follow technical analysis.
Okay, there's some interesting moves on my screen. Top five major moves on the JSE Securities Exchange. Clicks up 7.1%.
Yeah.
What is that? Hammerson up 4.5%.
I don't know.
I don't care about that one, because it's up and down. I do care about it. Obviously, I'm not being disparaging. It's just, it's there all the time. So I'm not dismissing it, but I'm not going to focus on it. Dischem, along with Clicks, doing well at 4.25%. And Tiger Brands up 3.7%. That's another one. Wasn't Tiger Brands upgraded, Nick, by somebody yesterday?
Yes, it was. It was this morning. It was before the open this morning. It was, wasn't JP Morgan. It was
Morgan Stanley.
It was one of the other That was it. Well done. Yeah. It was Morgan Stanley upgraded their target price. They went from underweight to overweight. And they don't very cover many shares on the South African market. So it was a bit of a surprise. Target price, David, 235, that they're calling that, to an overweight. So I don't know what's going on there.
But on what basis, on what strength, they're going to sell more bread?
I don't know.
David, you're in a really cynical mood this evening.
Red,
booze, nothing escapes you this evening.
Does your target brand's shareholder just be grateful?
Okay. They make bread, that's what they do. And Millennial.
Bread and polony.
And polony, yes. Basic food stuff. So I don't know where they're going to get their margins from. But anyway,
I'm Morgan Stanley. I've got fancy offices.
Yeah. So, I just sit here.
Can I just tell you something? I mean, not many people look at the sort of food prices and stuff. I'm surrounded by a couple of sort of agri farmers and traders around me. They're busy telling me today how the white maize futures are in South Africa at 3,900 rand per ton. It's like a 2-year high, and they're saying that's even with the fact that apparently we had a record crops. And they said, like, I'm not involved in the agri side, but I've got a brief understanding. But apparently, we are following what they call the price parity side. So soft commodities around the world, everyone's really scared of food inflation. So even the white maize markets in South Africa and the yellow maize are following exactly what's happening out of Chicago with their contracts. And apparently, like, it's a real concern that the price of food is going to skyrocket.
Well,
I didn't know anything about it, but apparently, literally, we are sitting at levels we should only be sitting if there was drought. That's how much the price is elevated for what it's worth.
And Nick, that would be good for Tigers, but it would be good for the retailers as well, for ShopRite, for Pick a Pay.
Absolutely. I mean, David,
pricing power.
Yeah, and where do they pass that pricing increase on to the consumer? They don't take it.
All right, just a brief one on clicks. Clicks, David, clicks and Dis-Chem. I know you follow these two, but why are they suddenly vaulted higher today?
No idea. You know, there was no – I couldn't find any story around that at all. I might have looked to Pick and Pay's results for some clue there, but there was nothing there. So it seems to be the double, both of those. But Lindsay, volumes is very, very low. So any big order can sway the prices to that extent.
Okay, on the downside, now this is interesting because this is a classic case of buy the rumor, sell the fact, and it's not just a 1 or 2 day phenomenon. It was the lead up to this company's results, and then since the results have come out, it's got walloped. Cartrack down nearly 10% today. It was 47 rand a share about 3-4 days ago. It's now just above 40 rand a share, and that's a big move percentage wise. Yeah,
I think David referred to it as that not real company.
Yes, he says, this is what he said, and I'm going to play it back to him one day. He says, is this a real company? He said, with all the dignity he could muster.
I am so cynical, skeptical at the moment. And where companies move like that, as we've seen with African Rainbow Minerals, I start to ask questions, because it's unusual and the news is difficult to find. That's why I say, look, before I believe it, let me do the digging to satisfy myself that everything is above board. We've gone through the EOHs, we've gone through we've gone through the Marcus.
Yeah, our memory is still pretty good. Yeah, we had one today with yesterday. We had a client buying Impact. Great little cycling company. And it popped up on my radar with a sort of alert. It was like something like 1/10 of the value traded market cap in the first like 2 hours of trade. And this thing never trades. I'm like, what is going on? Phoned a few brokers. No one knew anything. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Stock's up 5%. What is going on? No one knew anything. I mean, then at Hoppers 5 last night, a company's doing a share buyback. So, there's usually, look at the price action of a share, as David's saying, there's usually something going on. But if I can just talk about, Cartrack, Lindsay.
Yes, please.
You're exactly right. A lot of people, like moms and pops would look at those results and say that they were really good. I mean, it's a cracking set of numbers. Everything was expected to beat it, and the stock's off. Must be off almost 15% since those numbers came out.
Yes,
but there's a classic case of buy. That expression that us traders and stockbrokers, as David said and you've said, it's buy news. You know, people buy it into the earnings. They beat expectation. They come in as expected. They sell off after. There's a textbook buy the rumor, sell the news contract.
Sasol down 7.75%. Actually, 3.7%. It's a Boeing, this one. It's plunging. It's a 777, a percentage fall, 97.76. Montauk down 6.75%. IAPF, what's that? Investec Property Fund. What's IAPF? It's down 4.5%. I'll look it up. Anglo Gold Ashanti down 3.2%. Anything I've missed, gentlemen? Anything on your radars, up or down, outside of those? Silence.
Well, no. After looking at a couple of small caps, yeah, I thought lots, we're coming back. I thought, you know, coming back into favor. I thought with that Afrox deal, you know, the natural thing for me was to sniff around and say to people, look, maybe there's a couple of small caps that have decent cash flow. Maybe the play now is to take positions in these smaller caps that are profitable businesses. They might be delisting. You know, what's the problem of staying on? But I've got proved wrong with that one. I mean, Cup Industrial down 5% today, 253. Quite a few of the small caps got absolutely hammered again today. But again, I think you got by, you know, just there's little asterisks here with the current market in that the volumes are so thin and the doubles are so wide. You know,
two companies that have been around a long time, or one company is Caxton. And Terry Moorman, I know that they're selling off some assets. I don't know if he's a mate of yours. I've been following him for many, many years.
He is a mate of mine, yes.
Is he? Okay.
I don't think he's a mate of anyone's. He's a grumpy old sod.
But he's a smart man.
Yes,
fair. Yeah, he's and,
a very, very smart man. And look, it's not a huge company. It used to be bigger than, you know, I'm talking relative to the market. But there's been lots of action there recently as well. And Novus, I think, is associated with him.
Isn't that
the printing side of it? Yeah,
correct.
And they've been both also in the, you know, also amongst the gainers recently, some big, big moves. They were up, both of them up around about 10% today. So also some value being unlocked there. But they're so small, Lindsay. You know, we're talking about billion rand companies or 2 billion, 3 billion. We're not even that. So it's very hard to get your teeth into them. Yeah.
Just one thing. We've been talking negatively about the fact that since 2000, the year 2000, the JSE listed universe has shrunk by half. We've lost 250 companies. Whatever the stats are, it's pretty horrific. And this is the lowest number of companies since the 1930s listed on the JSE. But somebody sent a tweet out today and said, but on the other hand, people are coming in for Afrox and buying Afrox. Okay, they're taking it off the exchange, but they see value. And there was two other examples, and maybe you could enlighten me because I can't for the life of me remember what they were. It said recently that companies have come in and either taken stakes or taken companies out. So although the JSE may not be thriving, there are South African companies that people are interested in. And when I look at Tiger Brands and you look back at Pioneer Foods, maybe there's something going on with Tiger Brands. Maybe someone sees distribution and brands there that might make Tiger Brands attractive. No? Yes?
Look, you're dead right, yes. I mean, you know, I can give you a list of those kind of companies that exist that, you know, that could be taken out.
That was my thinking today after Afrox. I was sort of running a sheet and all the sort of reasonably smaller caps with positive cash flow that didn't have much debt. And I mean, that was literally my play for the day, thinking I'll take a position in all of these because obviously someone's seeing value. And I think there's, you know, that is something to that.
Yeah.
I think we have still a lot of companies, although they are smaller caps, that have very good brand names in the country, and they are, even in these difficult times, they are still cash flow positive. And that, you know, when the markets do turn, you know, those are the kind of shares you want to own. Or those are certainly maybe on the radar to a couple of private equity guys overseas, like we've seen with Afrox, for example.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your extended time this evening. That was the Tuesday Trade and the 5 o'clock shadow with the double header dream team. David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Nick Kunze from Sunland Private Wealth. I'm off now because in 15 minutes' time, the UEFA Champions League resumes.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to watch that this evening. So good. Chelsea Sevilla is on at 8 o'clock, I think it is, this evening. And, of course, the big one, Doncaster Rovers versus Ipswich in the third division, which I should be watching via various means. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.